Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Private Officer Beat Radio with Rick McCann at the microphone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of On the Legal Side, a production of Blue Ram Media Group and Private Officer International. Today we want to talk about a topic that is getting a lot of attention across the country once again. An area where we've actually had trouble for a number of years, but it sort of slacked off maybe toward the COVID beginning. But this year, it certainly has increased once again, and it has led to problems for the employer and problems for the employee. So today we want to cover emergency equipment. When can you use flashing rotating lights, sirens, or electronic horns, and where can you use them? When is it legal, and under what circumstances might you find yourself in trouble? Many security patrol cars, both that are privately owned by the employee and company owned by the business, the employer, has for many years, probably as long as I've been in this business, 40 plus years, had emergency light bars, normally yellow or clear, or in some states green, and some states even allow blue. And we'll get into that. They have allowed lights to be affixed either on the roof or the interior dash or rear deck of the vehicle. These lights essentially are used for one of three things. One, on private property, to alert business employees, customers of the business, and would-be bad guys that private security are on patrol, they're making their rounds, and probably this is not a good time to rob the store, steal, purse snatch, or commit any other crime. Although, frankly, in recent years, blue lights and multiple police officers standing together have not stopped crime from happening. Many apartment complexes have law enforcement that live on the premises and act as courtesy officers and leave their marked patrol cars in the parking lot, and yet vehicles are broken into, vandalized, theft occurs, and there's even robberies. So I'm not sure that flashing lights do it anymore for the criminal. The second reason to have your lights activated is to alert drivers or others of a potential hazard. So let's say that you have a big hole in the parking lot where it's caved in and a vehicle could be damaged or even fall into it. You might park your patrol car nearby, turn the lights on, maybe throw some cones out there to prevent anyone from being injured, falling into it, or having a vehicle get damaged or fall into it. So that's all well and good on private property. And the third time that you can activate a emergency lights is for an emergency. So if you're patrolling a mall and you get a call of a heart attack on the east side of the complex and you're on the west side and you have no quick and easy way to the scene, you might activate your overhead emergency light, drive carefully through the parking lot, be conscious of pedestrians and children and vehicles pulling out of the aisles, and you're just alerting folks that you're on the way to a call, an emergency. You may also, on a public road, activate your emergency lights behind a motor vehicle accident. Although this is dangerous, it may be against company policy. It may be a situation where if someone does hit you from behind, the insurance company for the vehicle and even your personal health insurance may not cover injuries or damage to the vehicle, injuries to you and damage to the vehicle. And the reason for that is because you were not officially on duty and you were officially were not involved in anything related to your job. Even if you were on the clock at the time and driving between accounts or on the way to lunch or doing another business activity on public roadway, stopping behind a traffic accident or a broken down vehicle would not be part of your duty. Dating back to the 70s and early 80s, I can remember a number of private security companies where I lived that had really nice marked patrol cars with amber lights. And they began getting involved on the interstate, traveling to and from accounts. The supervisors, especially, that had a lot more roadway time traveling to and fro. They got into the habit of stopping to assist motorists who were broke down and stopping behind car accidents on the interstate. And it really put them in a high risk situation, and it led to one of their supervisors being cited. And the reason why is because if a person is stopped on the side of the interstate or on the side of the road and there's normal traffic, people are going by and lot of activity, then obviously the person broken down, especially in these days and times, not so much in the late 70s, early 80s, cell phones were not so popular still. And if they were, they were big and not very many people had them. But so the security companies would stop to offer a hand. If you have people that are broke down on the side of the road, a couple of things can happen. If you activate your emergency equipment, whether those be green or white or yellow or red or a combination or even blue, officially, legally, you're not on duty and you have no authority on that road other than you're being a good Samaritan. I've done it myself. You're being a good Samaritan and you're trying to lend a hand, but you put yourself in a precarious situation. If someone was to run off the side of the road and hit you or hit your vehicle, they would definitely be responsible. But in a lawsuit situation, they would claim that you had no reason to be there. They may have crashed into the retainer wall, but they not necessarily would have hit you or the vehicle had you not stopped. So maybe even their argument would be was that you were a distraction because of the rotating flashing lights. So they don't rotate anymore, by the way. Most people have LEDs, which are flashers, and they flash back and forth at a very high rate of speed. If you stop in the middle of the interstate, the same situation. You're behind a car accident. You're trying to prevent them from getting hit, but you ultimately get hit by one or more vehicles, and hopefully you're not injured. Again, the driver of the vehicle could say that you caused that wreck, or at least had some culpability in the wreck, because those lights were distractive more than they were a help. I don't know how far that would go in a true civil case, but it could fly. Who knows? I mean, I've seen a lot of crazy things over the years that juries decide. Some things don't make sense, and yet it's up to them to make that decision. And whatever they come back with is more than likely what's going to stand. It's difficult for security officers sometimes to drive by a scene that might need immediate attention or assistance, such as if they saw someone having a medical issue. I've driven by not too long ago, actually, on the interstate, and I could see a person slumped over the wheel daytime. And because of my medical training and certification, I did stop. I'm also law enforcement. That had a little something to do with it. But even if I had been off duty, or if I had been in my vehicle, private vehicle, or if I had been even not law enforcement and not medically trained certifications and all of that, I probably still would have stopped, because that's just who I am. I've always stopped since I was a teenager. And most times it worked out well. A few little issues along the way where people were belligerent, but, you know, all in all, most of the time I've been able to help. So anyways, in this situation, the gentleman was slumped over the wheel, and I stopped, and law enforcement pulled up behind me almost within a minute or less, and he thought that I was out on a traffic stop. He thought that it was something happening. So I said, no, I think this guy has passed out, and we need an ambulance. And the guy wasn't having a heart attack, but he was intoxicated, and it was in the early afternoon, and so it didn't wind up too well for him. But so it's hard for security officers who are in uniform driving a marked vehicle to pass by certain situations where, you know, the public doesn't know who they are, and they expect them to stop, and the security person wants to stop. They want to be a help. They want to be a good Samaritan, but it can get you in trouble. It can cause you to be involved in accidents. It can cause you to be involved in lawsuits. It could even cause you to get involved where law enforcement's not happy, and they could even charge you. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to play this audio. This is a situation that happened in Louisville, Kentucky, within the past week. An off-duty security officer for Securitas is in a marked vehicle, and it's at night, and he's on the interstate. He says he's on the way to work. He's in uniform, and he comes upon a bunch of traffic, bumper to bumper, and he's thinking, well, maybe it's an accident. Let me see if I can clear the way, and I'll go up and check it out. So he turns on a siren in his vehicle, which is illegal on a public road, turns on amber white flashing lights. He sees that this is not an accident, but it's really a bunch of road race and people drag racing and spinning around, burning rubber, and they've got the interstate shut down. So he hits the siren a few more times. And when I come back, we'll tell you what happened and why it was illegal. Although great intentions, I'm sure, but still illegal, and it could have wound up in a really, really bad way. You're listening to From the Legal Side. I'm the Legal Side, a production of Private Officer International Blue Ram Media, and we'll be right back.
40% of the food that we produce here in the U.S. is wasted. That's 133 billion pounds of food a year. Well, a lot of this food gets wasted at the grocery store. If a carrot doesn't look perfectly right, it gets thrown away, even if it's totally safe to eat. But the biggest waster of all is us. On average, every American throws about a pound of food away every single day. Here are some ways you can stop wasting your food. Number one, meal prep. You don't have to be a fitness influencer to plan out your meals. If you plan before you shop, you're less likely to find a moldy vegetable in the back of your fridge. Number two, store it right. Storing food in the right place keeps it from going bad. And your refrigerator has those produce drawers for a reason. Become best friends with your freezer. Your freezer will hold things for a much longer period of time. Number three, be scrappy. Literally, learn to cook with things that you would normally throw away, like carrot tops, herb stems, brown avocados, and pickle juice. You want to save money and like saving the planet? Save your scrap.
Biddeford 113.
Biddeford, go ahead.
113, could you respond to Pool Street in the area of UNE? Have a report of a motor vehicle crash. Two vehicles head on, multiple PI. Drake?
Okay, 10-4, I'll be en route.
Do you know what to do when you hear an emergency vehicle approaching? Slow down. Signal. Move to the right as far as you can. Stop when it's safe to do so. It's a law. Remember to pull to the right for sirens and lights. Help save a life.
Do you love being outdoors? The mountainside. The ocean side. Do you love working with people, being around nature? The National Park Service is hiring law enforcement rangers. If you believe that you have the skills and the background, go to nps.gov today and fill out the online application. Rangers do complete the National Park Service Law Enforcement Academy, and they have an oath to protect life and property. Park rangers are dispatched throughout the country in our U.S. parks. It's a great opportunity. Again, go to nps.gov today and apply. You'll be glad you did.
Speed shut down part of the Waterston Expressway over the weekend.
WDRB's Stefan Johnson tells us how one driver in the area helped break up a group of drag racers. Stefan?
Well, that driver is a security guard and thought he was rolling up on the scene of a traffic accident, but instead it was several people watching others drag race.
As I'm coming up, I'm still can't see anything.
This is dash cam video from Tony Cullup's car.
It was Friday night. I was heading west on 264.
Cullup is a security officer and was headed to work when he drove up on the scene of people drag racing on the Waterston Expressway.
There's people standing all along the, I guess, barricade or interstate dividers.
Cullup initially thought the traffic backup was part of an accident.
But I didn't see ambulance or fire trucks or police lights.
But the closer he got,
as I was coming up, I began to see smoke.
The crazier it got.
I kept seeing headlights flash around circles. And then once I realized, you know, there were people out there doing 360s and stuff.
Cullup doesn't pretend to be an officer of the law, but takes his job seriously.
I end up hitting my siren.
That's why his car is equipped with lights, the siren, and PA system, which he used to move the crowd.
Leave the premises at once, that's all I said.
And apparently, that's all it took.
Next thing you know, you saw them all speed away.
I won't lie, I was scared. Because there were people, like I said, the people were getting out of their cars and running up, I guess, to get like front row seats.
One of the drivers caught in the middle of the chaos doesn't want us to show her identity, but does share why it was a scary scene.
I did have a guy that actually came up to my door. He didn't try to open it or anything. He just like walked up to my door and then kind of went on. And that's when that really scared me.
It just wasn't a good scene, and I wanted to help out.
Once the traffic cleared, Cullup dialed 911.
They asked me, are you calling about the street racers? I said, yes. And they said they already been notified.
Metro Police say they're pulling resources and manpower to specifically address this issue, and they're asking the public If you see any large groups of vehicles gathering, contact police. With photographer Tony Wyletta, I'm Stefan Johnson, WDC.
Chicago got a mob. He just jumped in my car. They just broke my window. They just broke my window.
Subject jumping out his vehicle.
They just threw a construction. They're kicking my car.
You're listening to On the Legal Side, and today we're talking about activation of emergency equipment, lights, sirens, PA, electronic air horns. When and where is it legal, and when and where could it be a real problem? As you just heard in that audio piece, I have no doubt that it was all in good intention. He wasn't trying to do anything wrong. He wasn't trying to break the law. His intentions were honest and sincere and true. But unfortunately, he did break the law when he activated a siren on public road without a permit from whatever issuing agent it might be. It might be the local law enforcement, it might be state DOT, it might be the county sheriff's department. Volunteer firefighters in many states have to have a permit to operate their red or blue lights. And if they have a siren, they must have a permit. A security officer may use a siren on private property in a gated community in an HOA that has completely private road. That would be legal as long as it wasn't being used to cause a disturbance or a breach of peace or 3 o'clock in the morning, or the security officer is just playing with the siren and keeps blasting it, trying to show off or to even test a new one. That would be a problem. But in this situation, although it may have been good intentions, not only was it a situation that had law enforcement been there on the scene, he probably would have got a ticket. But in a recent situation in Chicago, Illinois, a state trooper seeing a similar scene, and you can find this video on YouTube and on news channels across the country, including our own news blog at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. This could have turned different. In the situation where a state trooper saw a large traffic jam, he used his equipment and got up toward the front, only to find out that it was exactly the same situation. Young people had the whole area blocked, and they then blocked him in, and they were kicking at his vehicle and throwing things at his patrol car. He had a radio for help, and that whole area was bogged down with cars and traffic, and it was difficult for backup units to get there. And it took a few minutes, but in the meantime, his vehicle took a pounding. Luckily, he did not take a pounding. But can you imagine this unarmed security officer to be in the same situation? Let's say that, you know, he got up there and they thought, they didn't care if he was police or a security guard or what he was. They thought that he was interrupting their fun, and they surrounded his vehicle, and they began pounding and kicking and smashing the windows of his vehicle. And then they get in and they pull him out and pummel him to the ground, or worse. All for what? Where's his backup? He doesn't have a two-way radio. He can't call his dispatcher and say, you know, send me some backup units. I'm under attack. That's not going to happen. And under a condition like that, in that situation, there's no time for him or anyone to grab a cell phone and dial 911. Keep in mind that this is a situation that he would have got himself into. Good intentions, but that doesn't always mean it's the right thing to do, the right way to go. It's a tough call, and I'm not here to point fingers. It's not the blame game. We're talking about staying safe. We're talking about obeying the law, and in a situation like this, yes, it definitely could have turned sideways real quick. It would have went south had those people, and there was quite a few involved, 50, maybe more, maybe 100, who knows, if they didn't think that it was the police who was hitting the siren and then took off. What if they, at the situation in Louisville, Kentucky, decides, hey, there's more of us than him, and we're going to take control. We've already outnumbered him. We're going to overpower him, and we're going to try and get his gun, which happens to security officers all the time, including just 2 days ago in Baltimore, Maryland, where someone did just that. They overpowered the security officer and tried to take his firearm, and he wound up shooting them. Using emergency equipment on private property is legal. Is it the best thing to do all the time? Is it the right thing to do all the time? Only you can really make that decision. But you have to obey the law. You have to obey the policies and procedures of your company, your employer, whether that be a shopping mall or a contract security company, or you're a public safety officer for a medical center, whatever they allow. And with that being said, there are a lot of internal proprietary public safety and security agencies who do use emergency equipment. And they do conduct traffic stops on a college, university, whether they are campus police or public safety, they conduct traffic stops. They use emergency equipment to go to a medical call, to go to an urgent call for service. And that's private property, and that's all well and good. It's legal. It's fine. But when you come out onto public roadway, you have to abide the laws and the rules and your company's policies in order for it to be a situation where, you know, you don't get in trouble. So what kind of trouble could you get into? First of all, in most states, I don't know of anywhere it's legal for just John Doe citizen to have a siren, even if you're a security officer. I don't know of many states, and if there are some and you're listening in your state, they allow security contract companies to have a siren in their vehicle. Please send that information to helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we'll make that public knowledge. I don't know of any state that allows a private citizen, even a contract security company, to have a siren in their vehicle. And if they do allow it, like I said, it's fine on private property. I don't know of any that would allow you to take it upon yourself to use a siren to get from point A to point B, or to go through traffic, or to get to the scene, even if you're racing from client A to client B. You cannot use a siren on public roadway. In this situation that occurred in Louisville and in others like it, the use of a siren is a ticketable offense. Now, in some states, it's a misdemeanor, so it would be a criminal charge, and you would be issued a criminal citation, and you would have to appear in court on a misdemeanor. What about a situation where the officer wants to elevate that charge and he says, look, you're in a marked car, you're in a uniform, you've got a gun strapped to your side, you're hitting the lights and the sirens and you're trying to blast on through traffic, you're trying to blast down the highway, you're impersonating a police officer. Well, he could physically take you into custody, fill out an affidavit, and charge you with impersonation of a law enforcement officer. That may or may not stand in court. Everybody gets their day in court, and you would have yours. But the officer on scene could do it. It might cost you your job. It might cost you a lot of money to hire an attorney, cost you days off from work, and it could even end in a guilty if you go to jury trial or a bench trial just with the judge. Or it could be not guilty. But the fact still would remain that you used a siren on public roadway where you had no legal, lawful right to do so. My point here is to be careful. Be careful of what you do and how you do it, because it could be interpreted a lot of different ways, even though, yeah, it's all, you know, good intentions. But the cops and the law, they don't always see that. They see, huh, he's trying to portray this. He's trying to do that. And he's breaking the law by using the siren. That's clear cut. And they might take enforcement action that would be against you. It would be a situation where you would have to defend yourself. So remember, yes, you can use any type of overhead lights or dash lights on private property, any color that the law allows or that your employer allows. You could use air horns on private property per policy, per company procedure. The law cannot stop you from that because it's private property. You can use emergency equipment on public highway. If you come upon a car accident, although like I said, it's risky, it could be a situation where you would have liability there and your company, your employer may not want that, but you could do it legally as long as it was lawful colors. If the state does not allow blue lights on private vehicles or even contract security vehicles, then you can't use them. I know that in some states, you can use red lights. In some states, you use green. Some states, you use yellow or clear. And there's a few states where you can use blue lights on private property. Now, there are private police officers, as I've mentioned, across the country. And they use a mix of colors as well, blue and red and clear. Sometimes all blue, sometimes blue and red, sometimes clear and blue. It depends on the statute. But now we have a different situation. We have somebody that is a sworn law enforcement officer, and even though he might be a sworn officer at the Baptist Hospital, and he's on the interstate or on a surface road in town, he can still activate his siren and lights to pursue someone from the hospital property. He can, that's called fresh pursuit. He can also activate his emergency equipment on public roadway, blue lights included, behind an accident or to assist a motorist. And it would be no different than one town who the officer has driven into another town in a non-emergency capacity. He comes upon a crime in progress or a car accident or a medical assistance type situation. Know the law, know your company policy, and don't get yourself in trouble because it's really not worth it, even though it was all good intentions, even though it was, you know, you were trying to do the right thing. It just really, at the end of the day, it's best to try to stay safe, not put yourself in any more risk or high liability situations than you have to. And remember, if you do stop for any situation, whether on duty, off duty, on public road, or on the account, preferably, you know, you have body camera and you'll activate that. You have dash cam. You can buy body cams these days for, you know, about $150. Dash camera is the same thing, $150, $200. It's necessity. It's necessary these days to have this type of equipment. And of course, it would document anything that you do or don't do. And therefore, if you were to get in trouble legally or you got sued, you'd have verification of what you did, how you did it, why you did it, and hopefully that would save your bacon. Well, that's going to do it for this edition from On the Legal Side. And remember to listen to our Private Beat radio show tomorrow. Until the next time, be blessed, be safe. We'll see you back here on the radio.